This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kusu Chuang and Wang Xiaoning. Now, four Russian men and one Ukrainian have been charged with shooting down Malaysia Airlines flight MH17. And this is the first time since the plane was shot down in July of 2014 that charges against suspects have been announced. Now, the men were charged with bringing a missile into the area in eastern Ukraine and with murdering 298 passengers and crew. International arrest warrants have been issued and a court case will start in the Netherlands on the 9th of March next year.
So the men in question are as follows: Igor Gherkin, Sergei Dubinsky, Oleg Pilotov, and Leonid Karchenko from the Ukraine. That's my best Russian accent, okay? Can't do any better than that. Now, most of the men have military backgrounds or experience in combat units, and Igor Gherkin, who is, as you know, now finds himself in a bit of a pickle, is the most prominent of the four. He's believed to be the highest military officer in the area who was in direct contact with the Russian Federation.
Russia's foreign ministry has rejected the findings of the investigation, saying that it's aimed at discrediting the Russian Federation. In 2015, Russia vetoed a UN Security Council resolution that wanted to set up a special tribunal to prosecute those responsible. Under Article 61 of the Russian Constitution, no Russian citizen can be extradited to another state.
And furthermore, Ukrainian security services said they had no information on Leonid Karchenko's whereabouts or whether he was even still alive. Now, if we remember the events of 2014, the passenger flight MH17 was flying from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur when it was shot down over the conflict-hit Ukraine. A few hours after takeoff, the plane lost contact with air traffic control about 30 miles from the Russia-Ukraine border, and a Dutch-led joint investigation team concluded in last year that the missile system used to shoot it down belonged to a missile brigade based in Western Russia.
Yeah, a complete black swan event for the airline. It's been a series of black swan events for the airline since then. Remember, in November, later in 2014, the company was privatized, part of the turnaround plan. And I think we're coming to the end of this turnaround plan that was initiated way back when.
2014.
Yes. Yep. So they were privatized under Kazana, actually, which set a 5-year turnaround goal. And the plan is now in the final year. But it still appears that Malaysia Airlines is quite a fair distance from profitability. I mean, Kazana has injected something like 6 billion ringgit into the airline, and 1.6 billion of it was used to delist the carrier from the stock exchange. And another 1.6 billion was spent on restructuring and retrenchment. The airline's gone through 6,000 job cuts and major contract reviews since.
Yeah, that's about a third of its workforce. But I think, according to Edge, the financial year ended 2017, net losses actually doubled to 812 million ringgit from the year before. So it's quite some ways from turning back into the pink of health. And I think at the time, the turnaround plan wanted to see the airline being relisted back into Bursa. But it's in no shape to do that, right?
Yes, and they just released their quarterly results, right, for the first quarter this year. And they posted a revenue increase of 2%. That was driven by an 8% increase in domestic and international capacity. But if we look at the yield numbers, and the yield numbers are only 75%, you can imagine that they're not doing so well when you compare that with the likes of SIA and Cathay, mm-hmm. where their yields are at 83%. On top of it, oil price has been quite volatile, so they may have been hit by this. It's going to be a challenging year for airlines ahead, especially if global trade slows down or there's global growth as passengers hold back on especially discretionary and business travel too.
And going from airlines to airports, Malaysia Airports Holdings' share price has continued to rise on the back of favourable proposals by MAVCOM in its second consultation paper on aeronautical charges frameworks released earlier this week. Now, the MAVCOM proposals include an increased rate of return on assets, revised upwards from the previous proposal, as well as several options for the implementation of passenger service charges. And MAVCOM is inviting comments on the paper until July 18th, with the final decision to be announced in October. Now, we turn now to Ross Cameron, head of the Japan Office and Portfolio Manager for North Cape Capital, on what the latest proposals mean for MAHB and its stakeholders. North Cape is invested in MAHB. Thank you for joining us, Ross. Now, the market has responded positively to MAVCOM's second consultation paper. However, it seems like the devil's in the details. What are the key points that we should be aware of from the paper?
I think the way we need to think about this second consultation paper is this is a very good outcome for passengers and airlines, and a moderately good outcome for shareholders. I think that 6% jump really reflects some regulatory uncertainty coming off the table. I think some investors were concerned that MAVCOM might do something silly In fact, I have to commend MathCom. The paper is, I think, in line generally with global best practice. I think in terms of the details of the paper, perhaps some of the things that people have missed is the airport's going to move to a new framework whereby it's entitled to earn a fair return, a fair economic return on the assets of the airport. Interestingly, the airport has the right to dictate the split of charges between aircraft landing charges, passenger service charges, and so on. So that's very important. And it means Malaysia Airports has very good management. And I think it means that we have an outcome that is beneficial to airlines and passengers.
Yeah, Ross, could you expand on how these recommendations would benefit airlines and passengers?
Historically, up until now, the airport has been regulated on something called an operating agreement. It is a very unusual regulatory framework. It only exists in Malaysia, and it is not really related to global best practice. Global best practice for airports is something called the Regulatory Asset-Based Model, RAB for short. This is all the best airports in the world are regulated on this framework. And the consultation paper, both consultation papers that MathCom has released indicate that Malaysia is also going to move to this framework. It's very important. As I said, it's global best practice. The reason it's important for airlines and passengers is it means the airport is entitled to a fair return on its assets. So that return is just its cost of capital. So it means the airport can't gouge, can't earn excess returns. And on the flip side, because the airport management they can have a line of sight as to the returns that they make when they make additional investments, they're more inclined to make additional investments into the airport that improve the quality of service for passengers and airlines. It's much easier for the airport to invest. It's easier for airlines to plan new routes, and it gives passengers peace of mind that the airport is not making excess profits.
This paper is subject to change after public consultation. Ross, might there be some changes later?
I would say that this paper that was released just this week is probably more favourable to passengers and airlines than it is to investors in one key sense. Most or global best practice for airports is this regulatory asset-based model, but with one key distinction, which is what we call a dual-till model. So basically, you're allowed to earn a capped return on your aeronautical assets. So these are things like the runway itself and the actual airport infrastructure. But when it comes to retail and duty-free, the airport basically can set its own prices and is able to earn good economic profits in that. That's the way most airports are run in the world. The MathCom consultation paper that came out this week is a bit stricter in that both aeronautical and non-aeronautical assets will be regulated. So it kind of caps the upside for investors from retail and duty-free. So that's something that may in time change. I think it's possible. There's certainly more airports in the world on this dual-till structure than the single-till that MathCom's suggested this week. The other thing which I think maybe there's some pushback is the capital expenditure. So the proposed CapEx in the program is 5 billion Malaysian ringgit. That's at the low end of expectations. The airport itself was suggesting CapEx would be more like 11 billion. So that's a fluid number. I expect we'll see some more kind of to-ing and fro-ing between the airport, the regulator, and interested parties like airlines and investors.
Thank you very much, Ross. And that was Ross Cameron, head of the Japan office and portfolio manager for North Cape Capital, weighing in on the latest out of the MAHB proposal. And I guess the thing that caught my attention here, guys, is the fact that it says that airlines are entitled to a fair rate of return. But how does one determine what is fair in this instance?
Well, one of the things to look at is actually the whole MAVCOM proposal is based on this pre-tax weighted average cost of capital, or otherwise known as WACC, of 10.88, which is offering to Malaysian airports. Now, that in a way will determine how much revenue Malaysian airports will derive going forward for the new regulated asset-backed model. The question is 10.88 the fair number?
I think the airports itself had actually proposed a higher range, but also proposed a higher capital expenditure. I think 11 billion ringgit was mentioned. So interestingly, the share price actually rose yesterday by some, I think 7% or something, close at 8.51. The reason is not because they were going to earn less in terms of yield, but also because the regulatory uncertainty has now been removed. But don't forget, this is still only a consultation paper. Mm-hmm. There can still be amendments to it.
So currently, the second consultation paper says that a stakeholder argued that the initial proposal of 9 to 11% was too low, could harm debt and equity investors. Hence, the change in the proposed rate of return. Now, aside from that, we mentioned that the paper has laid out a couple of new passenger service charge proposals, and some of them are to equalize ASEAN and beyond ASEAN PSCs, maintaining the domestic PSC at 11 ringgit per departing passenger, as well as equalizing ASEAN and beyond ASEAN PSCs and possibly increasing domestic PSCs to 14. Ringgit per departing passenger. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.